hearts, that you would grant us that spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that we might know you, Father, that we might know you, that we might know you. Oh, Father, we ask you in your loving kindness and mercy to each one of us. I thank you that you meet us where we're at, and we just ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us to take a deeper step from where we're at, deeper with you in these coming days. And as we say yes to you, bring glory to Jesus in all that we say to those around us and all that we do. As that song said, let our lives outweigh our songs. Let our deeds outrun our words, Father. Let us be more than just those who have an appearance and a veneer, but those who really are reflecting you. So now, Father, I ask for utterance in the opening of my mouth and at the same time a guard to be set over it, that you would keep watch at the door of my lips and help us to hear the things you have prepared for us that we might have them in view of this new year coming. And we just commit it into your hands. Each of our days, each of our ways, we just present them to you and we just welcome you, Father. You are our Savior and I thank you that you save us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, very quickly. Let me read to you from Psalm 25. I'm going to start in verse 8. It says, good and upright is the Lord. I'll wait till Warren's got it up. Psalm 25, verse 8. Okay? And it says, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in justice, and he teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth to those who keep his covenant and his testimony. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? He will instruct him in the way he should choose. His soul will abide in prosperity, and his descendants will inherit the land. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he will make them know his covenant. My eyes are continually toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Okay. The main verse that I wanted to draw your attention to is verse 14. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him. In Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing I have asked from the Lord. I have to remember to wait. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock. Okay, I'll stop there. If we keep going, we'll get lost there. And then I want to read to you from Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, get wisdom, and with all your getting, get understanding. Okay? The beginning of wisdom is get wisdom, get wisdom. I want to be careful here. One of the passages of Scripture says, transgression is unavoidable where there are many words. And so I want to be careful not to say just everything that I'm thinking, but what I think is necessary here. There are all sorts of things we could consider as we consider 2025, but let me put this before you. Make it your priority. Make it your priority in the things, in the midst of everything you're doing, to behold the Lord, to behold his glory. Okay? Now, what that means and how you approach that really depends on where each one is at, right? There are certain things that someone like, you know, who's just starting out their walk in the Lord, when you're told, seek the Lord, that means one kind of thing. But as you have experience in the Lord, then to seek the Lord, to behold his glory means something more full, okay? And both are fine. It doesn't matter. I'm not wanting that you be like somebody else. I just want you to be you seeking the Lord, if I could put it that way, right? Beholding the Lord. The most precious thing that we can have is to know him, right? And because of knowing him, we choose one path over another path, right? One of the things, and here's where I got to really be careful, I sometimes think we underestimate the privilege of having choices. Now, the reality is, whatever you're experiencing as of 2025 is the product of choices made. Okay? Now, there are some things that are beyond your personal choice. Somebody else made a choice, and you get to face the consequences. Okay? But even in a situation like that, there's still a choice on your part. How will I respond to it? Right? How will I respond to it? There are, I don't know how to proportion it, but probably a wider category of stuff that you are dealing with or enjoying that are the consequences of choices you made. Right? But one of the things to see is that because God made us, one of the things that we get is the privilege of making choices. Right? And that is actually a pretty precious thing. At the end of the day, you know, if you're going to worship the Lord, there's a choice involved. It doesn't just sort of kind of happen, right? If you go back to the picture of what worship was that is laid out and spelled out in the law, there were offerings that they were required to make, right? And there were offerings you could make if you wanted to. A peace offering was not something you had to bring. You were welcome to bring it as a response to seeing God's goodness in it. But whatever it was, an offering didn't just happen. Right? All of a sudden there is a prescribed offering on the altar. I don't know how I got there, but I guess that's just how God does things. That's not how we should think. I want you to consider the fact that because God made you, you get to make choices. You get to make choices, and that's an important thing. That is how you worship the Lord. Okay, now, I'm being very general here. When you make a choice to go to work, are you worshiping the Lord? Well, maybe not in the sense that we're used to thinking about it, but it is a choice you are making. Too often we're paralyzed by just the way things are, or just the way I feel, or I can't see a way through it. And we don't see, at my most complicated and confusing circumstances, I still get to choose. And that is a valuable thing to see. We get to make choices. Now, the kind of choices you'll make will be based on what you think about God is like. And so, if we want to be wise in this coming year, and wisdom is more precious than silver and more valuable than gold, if we want to be wise, then what we want to do is make choices in view of seeing what he is like. And those words are kind of inadequate, seeing what he's like. Again, it depends on where each person is at. Beholding him more clearly, knowing him more fully. How can you really ever come to the end of knowing the Lord? So I don't mean, you know, compare yourself on a percentage and say, well, I know the Lord 3%. By the end of next year, I want to know him 4%. Okay? For those of you who are not mathematics majors, you cannot take a percentage of infinity. You just can't. That doesn't make any sense. 3% of infinity and 4% of infinity are exactly the same number, right? 99% of infinity is the same number as 3% of infinity, because infinity is not a quantity. It is the idea that there is no end to this. So there is no end to coming to know the Lord. So I don't want you to compare it merely in the sense of, well, I took 2025 more seriously in the Lord. That's not the goal here, to compare yourself, to give yourself a grade. The goal is, I want to know Him. I want to know Him. I want to see Him. I want, you know, one of the things that it says of Jesus, who is to be our example, is He delighted in the fear of the Lord. Not just He feared the Lord, but He delighted in it. He delighted in the thought that God is greater than everything else, and I want to know Him. He delighted in the thought of revering the Lord with the way He lived and the choices He made in the face of the things that He had to deal with. He delighted in the thought, I want God to be pleased. So that's a template for us. So as 2025 sets off, I hope that you will embrace the following. One, I want God to be pleased with my choices in 2025. I want Him to be pleased. Not merely, how will I figure out the best way to get what I want in 2025 using God? Okay? Not merely, how do I fill in the blank. There's so many things that we could substitute God being pleased with. And by that, I mean substitute in a way that looks convincing to you and me. I don't think anybody here wakes up in the morning and says, let me try and fool God to make it look like I want Him when what I really want is something else. Okay? I don't mean that. I don't think any one of us are quite that fallen, backslidden. But I do mean, because we're so used to seeing things in a certain way from a certain frame, we cannot see this is not what God wants. We're so convinced it's what God wants, right? It's one of the lessons that I take away from the Pharisees. They were completely convinced about what God wants. They were just completely wrong, but being convinced about what God wants meant that they did not see what God wants standing right in front of them, right? I don't want to be that. Part of that involves recognizing I could be that. Oh, that would, I would never be like that. I would, right. Okay, so take care there. The better thing is to say, Father, you know, see if there be, how many different places do the Psalms talk about things like this? See if there be any hurtful way in me. Keep back your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not rule me, right? Or, as it says here in Proverbs, get wisdom. The principal thing is not, did you do the right thing or did you do the wrong thing? Are things working out the way you want or they're not working out? Rather, learn. Learn. Learn what? Learn the way of the Lord. How does He do things? What pleases Him? What is the sensible thing to do? If you build your life in such a way that everything is based on what you get to experience down here, you're actually a fool. You're actually a fool. Rather, to the extent that you understand it, say to the Lord as this year begins, this year comes to an end, 2024 comes to an end, 2025 starts, help me, increase in me, however you want to put it, a hunger to know You that would direct all my paths, all my steps, right? In Proverbs chapter 4, and this is where I'll end, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He will make your path straight. Okay? So that's kind of what I'm trying to get at. Let God being delighted be the thing that sets your course in this coming year. I want God to be pleased with what I choose, not just by the end of 2025, but on January 1st, 2025, I want God to be pleased with what I choose. On January 2nd, 2025, I want Him to be pleased with what I choose. And the fuel for that is I want to see Him. I want to see Him. I want to behold Him. I want to go beyond my presumptions of what He is like to what He really is like. I want to know Him. I want to know what He is like. if I go any further, I'll risk undoing everything I said. I hope the Lord, the Holy Spirit, stirs each one of us. You know, as it says in Ephesians chapter 1, in view of the glorious things that are yours, Paul prays, I pray that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. I pray a spirit of wisdom and revelation would help you to know, not be aware of, but to know the hope of Him, the riches of Him, the surpassing power He has. The goal is Him. Right? So I pray that maybe the Lord helps you. I say maybe. Every person is in a different place and every person knows how to process these things differently. But let the Lord uncover for you where you are caught up with something that He says, son, this is just a waste of time. It's not what I made you for. Son, you're fooling yourself if you think I will bless a lie. So that we're going away from the stuff that takes us away, like paths that take us away from Him, and are more and more saying, the thing I want is to know you. The thing I want is to know you. Okay? The Holy Spirit is with us. He's upon us. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just present ourselves again at the beginning of 2025. I ask you to stir within us, every member of this church and every person that any member of this church touches, that they would be made hungry and thirsty for the Lord, for more of you, for more of you, for more of you. Yes, we are in need of specific instruction and wisdom. We need to learn how to do things. We need to learn how to stop doing other things. All of those things are true. But what we want more than everything else is to know you and that you would be pleased with what we choose, Father, in Jesus' name. We just thank you. We just thank you. You have been so good to us. You have been so kind and so merciful. As we look back in 2025, we remember that people have gone through very hard things and that there are people still going through those very hard things. And we just ask, Father, not for the brilliance to explain things to people, but that your grace would meet them where they're at. We are asking in view of the fact that you have shown yourself to be the God who rescues, that you would rescue in the midst of circumstances that are far more complicated than we could figure out. But everything is laid plain before you. So we ask you to touch the places in heart, in mind that need to be touched for people to turn back to you, for people to be rescued, for people to be willing to believe you, and take us deeper with you, Father, in Jesus' name. And we just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Take time to set some goals for yourself. I don't mean I'm going to prove to God how devoted I am. It can be just a small thing. Just a small thing. I want to be more thankful at the end of 2025 than at the beginning. I want to have read my Bible, or whatever it is. I want you to say something to the Lord and treat it as, Lord, I want to offer this to you, and I ask for help, right? Okay, thank you.